CliffCentral.com.
Busy morning this morning. I'm very, very pleased on CliffCentral.com to welcome someone we've spoken to before on the phone and on Skype. And finally, she's here in the studio with us, Catherine Child. She is a journalist, a coffee addict, a dreamer, and she's written for a number of very credible publications in South Africa, and even one or two incredible ones, like the Mail and Guardian. Sorry, that was mean of me.
Don't read those stories. They're terrible.
What, the Mail and Guardian ones?
I was very new to journalism.
Okay, well, that's...
They're the first ones that come up if you Google me, and they're terrible.
But look what you've done since. You know?
I hope it got better.
Yeah, of course it got better. Why do you think we have you here? You think we'd have you here if you weren't great at what you do?
Well, thank you.
Oh, how are you, Catherine?
It's early. I don't know how you get up so early.
It's awful, right? Have you met Sia, Leanne, Nolo? You met everybody else. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Catherine. All right, so Catherine, just to get you on board with what we do here, in case you don't already know, and anybody who might be joining us for the first time today, we do a segment of the show every Thursday where we talk about stuff that's going on in politics and news and in society, the things that people are talking about, the things people are interested in. And among those, obviously all the political stories, it's called The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's. It's really like a crash course in all the subjects that are likely to come up during the course of your week. And you'll at least know something if you listen to some of our very, very interesting people who come in and share stories with us and try to explain some of the complex issues behind South Africa and why this place is as strange as it is. So let's get cracking straight away. We've got a brand new finance minister, and all of 2 days and we were already bored with him. People have moved on. It didn't take long, huh?
Well, he must be the only finance minister with a song. I mean, we know Casper Nyovest had a song about how rich he was last year. Unless you count Malusi Gigaba, other finance minister who was quoting songs in Parliament.
Well, we could talk about in a moment, because he was slippery as all hell yesterday while he was accounting for himself and saying, oh, no, he doesn't. He only knows these four Guptas. He doesn't know all the other Guptas. And a lot of the stuff happened while he wasn't minister, blah, blah, blah. We'll get to Malusi in good time. As will eventually the prosecutors. But let's start with Tito. How have people responded to this? What's the general response been to bringing back an old minister from the dead?
It seems like the ANC doesn't have a lot of good staff. They keep replacing people. So I think there were a lot of jokes about Tito coming back. He was the Reserve Bank governor. Apparently business likes him, but then he was the Labour minister in the early 90s, and his Labour laws we still have today, very strict Labour laws, very hard to fire people. So if you look a bit deeper, I don't think he's as exciting as everybody makes out.
And we also know business is really cowardly, and having been through the era of Des van Rooyen and things like that, the business community will just take whatever government dishes up for them, and they'll say, oh, well, we'll make the best of this. Because frankly, as long as they're making money, they're okay.
I think they lobby behind closed doors. I mean, the banks met Zuma after Des van Rooyen. But what they say publicly is always like, everything's so good, it's cool, we like him.
Well, Tito, he's got a kind of a checkered past as well, but he seems to be more or less one of the golden boys of the Mandela era in some ways. People always, held him as a good example as a governor of the Reserve Bank of what we should be doing. Even though some people have criticized him heavily for saying, well, we had some of the worst exchange controls implemented during his time there.
Yeah, and apparently the rand was not great. It was very volatile. Business does like him. I mean, he sat on a lot of boards of companies at the moment. He's going to have to probably resign from those. So he is seen as more of a capitalist, despite the fact he's calling on Twitter for a state bank and state-owned fund, and he seems very chummy with the EFF.
Do you think that he's just one of those people who will... he'll just say yes to a whole lot of things.
I don't know. I think maybe his Twitter profile's just random, and maybe he's actually much better in the job. Like, what he says on Twitter, maybe we can't take so seriously.
What? So, people on Twitter aren't serious people?
That's outrageous. His tweets are ridiculous.
And of course they are. And so are Donald Trump's, and so are most people on Twitter. Most people are morons on Twitter.
So I think that's got to be a pinch of salt. Although he did point out that the EFF was ridiculous for wanting Venezuela's economic policies. So that's a good thing.
Well, let's see what happens. What is the political party's response been, besides the ANC's, who obviously rally behind him?
Well, I think the DA is fairly pleased. They've always got something to say. The EFF seems to like him, which is kind of... kind of makes me nervous because the EFF was gunning for Nene. We're not sure why yet.
Yeah.
So their support of him is a little suspicious, but maybe that's just me being overly cynical.
Well, I'm curious, since you're in a cynical mood, how much of what President Cyril Ramaphosa is doing and has done since he took office is reactive and how much of it is proactive? It almost feels to me like the agenda is set by...
by someone else?
The EFF. Or by people who threaten him within the ANC.
It does seem like he's struggling in the NEC. I mean, him and Ace are not the best of friends. So I don't know how much power he has. But then, I mean, they've got rid of all the boards of dodgy companies. Danel's CEO's gone. Transnet CEO's gone. So I think some of what he's done is he's actually cleaning up the state-owned enterprises. Not getting a lot of credit for that. The land stuff, yeah, that seems very much what the EFF wants. I don't... Yeah. I think it's just rhetoric, but it's still dangerous.
All right, so Tito's in, and that means that we've got a whole new set of, I suppose, variables to bring into the picture, and he's got to make a midterm budget speech soon, doesn't he?
The 24th of October. That's, yeah, economists are not looking forward to that, because they're thinking the taxes are not great. Even with VAT up, the sugar tax, they're not getting in the money they thought. So he's going to have a nice deficit and having to explain where the money's going to come from. And yep, there's problems at all the state-owned enterprises that are needing bailouts. So,
and there's an investment strike. People are sending money out of the country, not bringing it in.
Huge amounts of money going out of the country. So he's kind of stuck with the really poison chalice. It'll be interesting to hear where the money comes from in his budget.
All right, well, let's talk about the North Gauteng High Court that have noted and ruled that Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba, at that stage Finance Minister, lied under oath when he testified during his tenure as Home Affairs Minister in a case filed by a company that was going to open a private immigration terminal at the country's biggest airport. Now, this is amazing. Malusi says, you know, I am completely clean, I'm a good guy. He really is living in cloud cuckoo land. There seems to be enough evidence just on the face of what the North Gauteng High Court said to pretty much put him in jail for...
perjury?
Perjury, but maybe even treason, you know?
The first... So he went to court four times. He's lost every single time on the same matter. Basically, the Oppenheimers, who he was really negative about in the court papers, wanted to run a private airport terminal, which is not that weird. There are apparently 5,000 of them in America, and it's for the rich and connected to kind of skip immigration. But
who wouldn't want that?
The countries,
that's one of the reasons you want to be rich, so you can get in and out of the airport easily.
Well, that's what AXA wanted, because they need money.
Right.
And of course Danel, who's bankrupt and can't pay salaries at the moment, they own the land that the Oppenheimers were leasing for this terminal. So they've been trying to get the go-ahead to have Home Affairs officials there to rubber stamp passports since 2013.
Wow.
Yeah. They've been messed around a long time. Eventually in 2016, 3.5 years later, Malusi says in a meeting, okay, you can have immigration officials. You'll pay for them, but they can be there and rubber stamp these rich people's passports. And then he changes his mind. So they take him to court. It's now been 4 years. They're leasing this land and they can't do anything with it. And the court finds that he lies and that he did say that he was going to approve the immigration officials, and he suddenly denied it. And they were not kind to him.
Well, I mean, would you be? You've been paying for something. You didn't get anything, any value for it, right?
The court went even further. They said, well, like, there was a whole thing that the Guptas had also wanted to run a terminal there for the rich and famous.
I thought they did. It was called Watercliff Air Force Base.
Well, they wanted another one at Oatambo.
Oh.
So the court actually finds, no, well, Malusi, like, Oppenheimers didn't even bring this up, and they didn't throw any shade on you, and they were very fair, but look what you said. And then they quote all these things that Malusi said, well, his lawyers say about the Oppenheimers, saying they're well-connected, moneyed, politically powerful family that want to deprive benefits from the public. Huh. And what planet are they coming from? This is in the court papers, that they think a terminal's appropriate. So the court had a lot to say about Malusi and his dodgy lawyers.
Wow. Do you think he's going to get away with this one, or is this also going to not go his way and then he's going to end up in even more trouble because he was in front of Parliament as well, right?
Well, he got away with this. I mean, he took it to the Concord and they wouldn't even hear the case, and he's still in power. He looked shifty in Parliament.
Very shifty.
Those eyes, like, he doesn't lie well. He did not come across honest. And his they asked him if the Guptas had phoned him, and he says, no, his phone is a buzz. He gets so many calls, he can't remember if they phoned him.
Oh, what a nonsense story.
If we were like him, he says to the DA, and he had so many calls, we'd also know that, like, we wouldn't remember who
so
phoned
important.
Us.
He's so busy and important.
He's known the Guptas for 10 years, but he doesn't remember a single phone call from them.
Wow. That's a proper, he should go to what do they call these people? A neurologist. Have that checked out.
Yeah, he didn't sound very clever.
No. So what do you think, this presents, and I said on Monday when Cyril was thinking about getting rid of Nene, because he asked him if he could resign, I thought this is an opportunity for Cyril.
Yeah, I thought he can get rid of Butterbee. Dalbini, Shilaid, Malusi, Mvula, who went and bankrupted the water department and then gave bonuses to staff.
Get rid of them. Now's your chance. But I mean, he hasn't appointed an NPA chief yet, right? He could do that now and he could take all these people out overnight.
And he's got a deadline. I'm not sure. He was only given 90 days or something to appoint an NPA chief. The deadline's looming. He hasn't put anyone in parliament in power.
Well, that would be such a win. Cyril wants to take control. This is his chance.
Well, some
what's
people.
What's he pussyfooting around for? What's wrong with this guy?
I think he doesn't have all the support in the ANC, but people say a cabinet reshuffle after the elections. And I don't
we
know how much.
Can't wait that long.
I know, Malusi must go now. Really?
Especially if you're a really bad liar. There's only one thing South Africans can't tolerate more than corruption, and that's a bad actor. Look how long they last on Generations.
And a bad tweeter.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the Concord, because they also ruled that former Minister of Social Development, Batabile Dlamini, withheld information from them. Mm-hmm. That obviously is acting in bad faith. It ordered her in a personal capacity. This is quite a watershed moment in South African law and politics and the intersection between the two, to pay 20% of the costs incurred by Black Sash and Freedom Under Law herself. She has to pay it out of her own pocket.
Because she was lying. So
yes.
They asked Bernard Ngwepe, judge, to look into this whole matter and if she should pay costs. He had his own hearing and he found out that she had lied. Basically, they wanted to know, she had set up work streams to take, which are basically groups of people, to look at taking over the payment of social grants. And she says, no, they didn't. They answered not to me. They answered to SASSA, the social grant people. And the hearing found that they answered to her. They answered to no one else. She was in control. The court said, well, you lied about this completely, and we're going to slap you with costs. And the costs are millions.
Oh, really? So does she have the money?
Well, no one seems to think so. City Press went and looked at what she declared, and it wasn't very much money. So if she's honest, she doesn't have a lot. But Freedom Under Law says, so she's got to pay 20% of their costs of two advocates. They said, we will go after her, and if she doesn't pay, we will make sure that the sheriff of the court takes her assets. She's going to pay. So,
what assets does she have? I mean, this is going to be an interesting thing to figure out.
She must have a house.
Well, maybe. We don't know. Right? This is going to be fascinating.
Or
we're
banks.
Going to find out what the ministers get and what they have.
She's got to have bank accounts they can attach.
Sure. That would be fun.
Well, Freedom Under Law doesn't give up on a fight, so they will get that money. Good for them.
That's excellent. Let's see what happens. All right, Batabile Dlamini, I can't believe we're still dealing with her.
And actually, the Concord said to the MPA, the one that doesn't have a head, they should look at if they should charge her criminally with perjury. So they've suggested, go and look there, which could mean she could go to jail if something happens.
The media is always notoriously quiet about farm murders, but there was one in Wellington that's got people talking.
Yeah, I don't know why that one. Like, the media likes to not cover farm murders unless they're Afrikaans or unless they're Marula Media, which belongs to AfriForum. But for some reason, this farm murder in Wellington.
What happened?
It wasn't even a murder. Five guys get to Wellington on a Friday night. There's a family having a braai. They've got balaclavas. No one knows how they got onto the farm. They interrupt the braai. They lock the family in the house. They're like an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 10-year-old kid. The mom tries to push the door closed, tries to keep them out of a room, and they stab her hands quite badly. They break the father's knees. So both of them have landed up in hospital. He's got three fractures in one knee. And then they told Netvac 24 that they are not leaving. Like, this is our farm. We're coming back. We're not scared off the land. So that was their take. But it's just bizarre. It was very violent.
So no one was killed, but people were definitely attacked. And this
people were badly injured.
Yeah.
And it made the news, but no one died. And there's kind of mixed reports about what they stole.
Well, it's still a horrible situation. I mean, you imagine you're just having a braai and a bunch of kids come and hold you up.
Well, I think they're kind of older, but their kids were there. The people, the family who were having the braai.
Oh, right. Okay,
their
sorry.
Children are watching this whole thing.
I got you.
Horrible
for them.
Well, nine farm attacks apparently last week. These weren't murders. And I mean, imagine nine politicians being attacked, or nine police officers, or nine journalists. It would be front page news.
Every week.
But it's... No one blinks an eyelid because it's farm
every
murders.
Week. Every other week. All right. Thousands of ANC supporters took to Joburg streets to ask for better service delivery. But hang on, this is the ANC protesting the ANC.
It was amazing.
What is that? Just explain that to me.
It was so funny.
This is absolutely incredible. This is like... Oh man, this is like the Hillary Clinton supporters protesting Hillary Clinton.
It was like talking to people who maybe you'd think were at a psych ward and couldn't make sense. So they weren't actually protesting the ANC. Well, let me first say it was huge. I get there and I think, oh, there's going to be 50 marches. Well, there were thousands. If the ANC could organize the economy like they did the march, we'd be rich. Perfectly peaceful, thousands of people bust in, all with ANC t-shirts, to protest actually against Herbin Mashaba, which was ridiculous. So he's the DA mayor of the city of Joburg, mm-hmm. and he is responsible for everything going wrong. They don't like the fact they're paying more for electricity, the fact that certain free Wi-Fi spots were stopped. The one woman said, but there's no jobs in Orange Farm. Then the other lady said to me, no, but I'm still in the shack, we've got no RDP houses. Then there were posters complaining about the cost of water, crime. Someone else said cable theft. You know, the electricity is always off because someone's stolen cables.
So is this all about Herman Mashaba?
Well, I don't know how he's responsible for any of these things, but he was blamed for all of it the marches.
Is it all the provincial government's problem to sort out?
I think it depends on the department. Some's national, some's provincial. Yeah. I mean, Eskom is responsible for electricity hikes, not Herman Mashaba.
Yeah, so in other words, this is really just a very bad example of how the ANC doesn't know that the ANC is responsible for the ANC's people's problems.
It was amazing.
Wow.
They had this poster saying we want title deeds for the land. So I'm like, well, you do know the government owns the most land and the government's ANC and your ANC, so why don't you ask your own leaders for the title deeds? No, Herbin Mashaba must give us title deeds.
Well, I think he is.
He is, exactly. I mean, the ANC isn't, but now they're protesting because... He must do it, but he is doing it. He's been doing it since he was in power.
This must have been the greatest collection of stupid people in South African history for at least the last 10 years.
It was bizarre.
If we lost all of these people, I don't think it would affect the economy at all.
At least,
like, if they were all swallowed up into the earth, it wouldn't hit the GDP by 0.001%. These are not productive or useful people, right?
Well, they were kind of like brainwashed people because they all said the same thing. And when you get like 3,000 people and you speak to a whole bunch of them and they're all blaming Herbin Mashaba for every ill, then you kind of just think they've been told what to say and they can't think for themselves.
Well, isn't that kind of how it works? Maybe they got a free t-shirt.
They got both a free t-shirt, very honest, a free yellow t-shirt, which I was offered, and a free lunch on the bus, what would have been breakfast. So they got a meal.
Okay. That's why they're saying what they say. These are poor people who don't have a lot of options in life, and they got a free meal and a t-shirt.
And they're unemployed, and it's kind of fun to walk through Joburg instead of doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And because your government can't provide you with a job, your job is to do things they give you a free lunch for.
To march and say ridiculous things.
Wow. What an incredible story. All right, let's talk a little bit about VBS. I don't want to go into detail because obviously a lot of people still making their way through the report. It was only released by the Reserve Bank yesterday. But this is terrible news for the EFF. I mean, Floyd Shivambu, it appears, according to a story I read just this morning, that he got 10 out of the 16 million that his brother Brian is supposed to have got from VBS Bank.
Yeah, they're not saying anything. But I mean, the whole thing looks dodgy because when the Reserve Bank put... VBS and administration, out comes the EFF saying you're targeting a black-owned bank and they played the race card.
Sure. And then we were all going, huh?
I mean, they play the race card and look what they've done. They've expropriated all that money without compensation, which is what they want to do with the land, and they've given it to Floyd's brother and maybe Floyd himself.
Who are the biggest losers here in terms of people who would have put money into VBS? Because I know the municipalities are the stupidest because they were forced, they were pressured, right?
Municipalities were pressured and bribed. I mean, that's what's come out. People got money to keep their money there. I think the biggest losers, Zikhona Tshona from ENCA went and found all these poor pensioners queuing for their money. In kind of rural poor places in South Africa. I'm not sure exactly where. And these are people with nothing, and they lost money. And these are the so-called poor that the EFF represent, and yet, one of their leader's brothers coined 16 million. And of course the taxpayer, because the PIC, which is government pensions.
They put a whole lot of money in there, and not just the PIC, but the KZN Transport Department.
Yeah, they were...
some very strange people who had no business being in the vendor bank.
There were all sorts of people from KZN who put in money, but government-related. There was some guy who had a business and he wanted government contracts in KZN, so they made him use the bank.
And there was only one mention of Jacob Zuma in the whole report, and that was that his foundation got a paltry 1 million.
Only 1 million.
But, yeah, that's the stuff that's in the report.
But Zuma gets something in everything. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the doctors, teachers, government workers lost because the PIC, again, threw away money. Because their staff got huge kickbacks for investing in the bank and stealing from it.
That's amazing. Can I just read this to you quickly? This is a tweet that I picked up. Apart from Brian Shivambu and Floyd, I have to ask, says this guy on Twitter, why KPMG is still in business? Because they were the auditors tasked with cleaning up this bank. KPMG partner Sipho Malaba knew about nearly 1 billion cash shortages at the bank, but signed off on their financials anyway.
And he got money. So on that list of people who got money...
Well, that's why he signed off.
He's been fired from KPMG, but he signed off on the audit and he got money himself. He was very, very implicated in that whole heist.
Can I just ask, are these people going to go to jail? Is there any likelihood that there will be accountability here, that the NPA will do what it's there to do?
Whoever goes to jail, sorry, this
really?
Is South Africa. You can lie in court and stay in power.
God, that is terrible. No one goes to jail, ever.
If you smoke dacha, they tried that. I mean, 60% of all arrests until this recent judgment were dacha related, but no, not the corrupt people.
All right, so what do you think is going to happen with Cyril in this NPA office? I mean, surely he's got to have a shortlist. Have we got any indication of who might be the next public prosecutor?
I have no idea. I mean, one of the theories, and it was in Business Day yesterday, is that people don't want the job. So he goes to kind of senior lawyers and people like Thuli Madonsela that some have suggested, and no one wants this. The NPA has been corrupt. There's been so much interference. And he's going to find... It's a tough job to find someone who wants it. That's the latest thinking.
Wow.
But the Justice Minister is supposed to have given him a short list of names, and that hasn't happened. So, not just Cyril's fault.
Is that still Michael Masuta?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, well, the only thing I've seen him do recently was carte blanche. And that's never a good sign. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Catherine, that's a lot to chew on this week. Another quiet week in South African politics, huh?
Very depressing.
Nothing really to talk about. I don't know how you managed to do your job as a journalist. There's nothing to write about.
Nothing
anymore.
At all.
Nothing.
It should be Australia.
Go home and twiddle your thumbs, you know?
At least you don't have to write about the weather. They do that in Australia. There was a front page story about the tarmac melting from the heat.
Oh, my God, the tarmac! Holy shit. All right, well, thank you very much. That was brilliant. There we go. That's your burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. So much stuff to think about this morning. Thanks, Catherine. Catherine Child, and you can read more in various publications. Who are you writing for principally at the moment? Daily Maverick?
No, the Times Select.
Times Select.
It's a paywall, but you got to pay for news. So we're part of Times Live, but pay for us.
If you want good stuff, you got to pay.
It's not that much. 80 rand a month.
No, that's not so bad. Some people spend that on...
coffee?
Absolutely.
Vodka.
People spend way more than that.
Now you're speaking our language, vodka, yes.
Some people, much worse stuff.
It's less than a bottle of vodka, 80 bucks a month.
That's right. And that's all really you need as a journalist to power you through the week is a bottle of vodka.
That's our boss.
Okay. Well, I was trying to help you out there, but there we go. All right, very good. Thank you, Catherine. That's the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's every week right here on cliffcentral.com. And plenty of really interesting stuff happening, so lots for you to sink your teeth into today. CliffCentral.com